It's hard to just sit here for an hour with like a cock in your face.
Yeah, it's weird.
And not try to adjust it out of your face.
So. Yeah, no. You guys have no career opportunities in radio then. No.
Or porn. Both
I guess.
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast. It is just Chad, Emilio, and myself, Bobby, here this
week. What's going
on? I can beat you.
Hi.
Pretty close.
I had a listener was like, your intro starts off with your like aliases or your handles, and then you guys only use your real names. So just if you haven't made the connection yet, my name's Chad, but I'm also Flopsy, and then Emilio over there is also Ender's Logic. And then Bobby, who started us off, is also Robert Digital, Digi.
Yeah. See, I feel like people could pick up on that based on Bobby and Digi, like those go hand in hand. But you guys, yeah, maybe a little more difficult to decipher. Yep. All right. So what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah.
Twitter? So, yeah, we had a Twitter winner give away a Black Ops 3 multiplayer pack. Thanks to Team Tom for giving that for us to give away. Congratulations to Aerodynamic. And if you want to, win some stuff, follow me on Twitter. That's, Ender's Logic at digital_logic.
Yep. Or you can just find all the links at dlgaming.net and get the Twitter off of there. Last week, if you heard some weird noises, that was probably our microphones that we were adjusting. These ones are very sensitive and we've changed the place that we're recording. So, I know there's been a lot of adjusting and fooling around of the equipment, so we apologize. We're trying to be really good about that this week. Hopefully it'll be better.
Yep, it's probably my numb nuts. Just I get fidgety.
I do the same thing. It's like, hard to just sit here for an hour with like a cock in your face.
Yeah, it's weird.
And not try to adjust it out of your face. So.
Yeah, well, you guys have no career opportunities in radio then.
Or a porn. Both of those opportunities are gone.
I guess.
All right, so what else?
Let's see. Oh, it's been kind of an ongoing thing in the last two episodes. We were talking about lemmings and how lemmings just instinctively jump off cliffs. And then we found out that wasn't true. It was all made up by a documentary crew. And I mentioned that there's a word for things that are believed to be true. And they're just believed to be true because they're common knowledge and everybody repeats it. But they're actually, in fact, false. And that word is factoid. And the funny thing about that is the word factoid is in itself a factoid, because everybody thinks a factoid is like a little tidbit of information, like some little interesting fact.
Yeah.
But actually, that word means something that everyone thinks is fact, but is in fact not true.
Falsehood masking itself as a truth. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Wow.
And it turned out I did some
factoid there, Bobby.
Yep. And I looked into it a little bit more. It turns out, actually, besides the panda sex, pandas are the ones that jump off of cliffs.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Just because they're like large, dumb animals.
Because nobody wants to fuck them, dude. Not even their own species.
Yeah.
That is depressing.
I totally just made that up.
That's an interesting one, too.
Oh, boy. All right. No game. We aren't going to be talking about any games coming out this week. We talked about No Man's Sky. That's right around the corner. I'm sure we'll be getting into that.
And Karazhan.
Karazhan.
Super excited about
that. Hearthstone. So we're going to move right into the big story. So I just returned a couple days ago from QuakeCon, and holy shit, man, I needed a day to recover from that. So we're recording this like right before the episode's going to air. But God, where do I begin with QuakeCon?
Bobby seems like he's in a daze. Like he doesn't even know where he was these last
couple
days.
But he's like giddy. But like more animated than Bobby is, but like drunk. If I didn't know Bobby as a sober individual, I would think he was either on drugs or drunk, but he's not.
I hit a point of delirium at QuakeCon for sure, because there was very little sleep involved in that whole experience, and quite a bit of just gaming and running around in the heat of Texas. It is hot as shit out there. Oh my God.
But it's a dry heat.
How hot is it?
About 100, like on average, and it doesn't cool down at night. Like I take a shower, I step outside, and I'm like, I need to take another shower. Yeah. Like you immediately feel gross. I don't know how people do it, but special shout out to Lab Monkey for letting me crash on his couch out there and making this whole experience possible. That was very cool of him. And we had an Thanks, awesome Lab. Time. I got to see a little bit of Dallas, you know, because I figured I was just going to be in the hotel room the whole time. But, you know, we went out and got some food to eat at a couple places and got to experience the Texas lifestyle out there. It's pretty interesting. So all in all, a very good experience. There's so many things about QuakeCon that I want to talk about, but I'll start with the BYOC, the Bring Your Own Computer. And this is like what it's known for. It's the biggest LAN in the U.S., possibly like in the world. I don't even know how big it actually was, because it's kind of hard to tell with such a full room. I'm guessing maybe like a football field, just
Jeez.
Full of computers, like big giant rigs. And like everyone goes there to show off their cool rig. You know, there's lights, a lot of water cooling, all these crazy case mods, just cool shit to look at.
And you still didn't want to take yours, right?
What was the coolest one? You got to give a coolest one.
The coolest one, there were some that were just like funny, but there were some that just looked really good. A lot of really interesting water cooling. This one guy had like a little spaceship made up. One of them, the guy had made one that looked like it was like had red lights on the inside, and there was like broken tubing. It looked like some gnarled thing from a sci-fi movie. That one was pretty cool.
Wow.
What else? Not like anything super crazy that stood out to me, but I did take a lap around the whole place just to check out all the different computers. And not only that, but this is like the BYOC is like a fucking shanty town. You know, it's like Hooverville in the 1920s. It's like people just stop, drop, and set up shop. Like they set up big banners with like
cocktail
shit
for Harambe. I saw that one.
Yeah, yeah. I sent that one. They meme hard out there, too. It was like everything was about it. It was like a culture. It was like a Twitch chat, but in real life. You know, everybody's just yelling shit out like memes. And some of them I didn't understand. Like one of the things people kept yelling out was, how old are you? Like, I have no idea. It's some sort of inside joke that everyone just repeats. But Harambe was big this year. And the thing is, like somebody will yell something out and then somebody like fucking 30 yards away will yell it out, and then you hear it over there, and then you hear it over there, and then like it's just like this weird little thing that bounces around. So it's like Twitch chat.
That's exactly what it is, right?
Yeah it was pretty funny. The funniest thing I heard somebody yell out that wasn't like just another repeat of, you know, dicks out for Harambe or how old are you, was like I'm just sitting there gaming, and all of a sudden I hear someone yell out, heal me, you turd, like just super loud. I was like, oh, that guy's having a day. But
so is everybody playing different games? I kind of thought the concept was everybody gets together and plays some massive game together.
No. Everybody plays different games, and this is a great way to tell like what's super popular right now. I know Lab Monkey was saying last year everybody was playing Rocket League because it had just come out, and you know that game was hugely popular. But a lot of people, like the number one game out there, definitely hands down, was Overwatch. Oh, everybody's sure. playing Overwatch. A lot of Overwatch going on. Also, one thing I wanted to point out was Discord is like the comms now. Everybody was using Discord. I didn't see Skype, but like everybody was on Discord. So that's the way to go. I know a lot of people I talk to are just like, oh, I use Curse, I use this. I'm not sure about Discord. You got to get on the Discord train, because that's taking over right now.
That's kind of cool, because Discord is kind of designed specifically for gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Skype, I mean, Curse.
Yeah,
is the
Curse
same
is too, and Curse. There are some features I like about that, but I do really like Discord.
Is there a Discord link on our webpage?
No, okay. We posted it in the Steam group, but yeah, we should put it on the webpage too.
Yeah. So we have a Discord group, and we're getting it going. I mean, it's up, but we're gonna get it even more streamlined. Mm-hmm. But if you just go there now, you'll be able to text with us. We're almost always, even if we're not on there, we'll see it pretty quickly, probably even quicker than we'd see it if it was on the Steam group.
Yeah. Great way to get a hold of us.
And that's right now it's only on the comment section of our Steam group, dlgaming.net, right?
Yeah, so that'll disappear as people post more comments. So yeah, we should make a permanent link on our website to that. Yeah.
And
so,
maybe post up a pinned thing on our discussion board.
So Bobby, you got there on Friday, right? Or Saturday?
I don't know. I have no idea what day it is even right now. Like, I'm on vacation and I'm like completely disoriented. I have no concept of time. I got there the night before and they allowed us to drop off our equipment and pre-register then. So Lab Monkey picked me up for the airport. We drove over there, dropped off the gear, went and got something to eat, got some sleep, went back there the next day and hit it hard. And
question.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of computers to hook up together. Mm-hmm. So you put your computer on a table and there's just a wire there for you to hardwire ready to go.
Yeah. I was really impressed in the way they set all this stuff up in the BYOC. We're talking like thousands of computers to hook up. They've got the switches right on the desk and they run the Ethernet straight there and they just tape it off a little bit. And, you've got your Ethernet and then on every desk, and these desks are huge. They're made to seat, I think, two people a piece. And their computer. And there's plenty of room to set up your rig and your monitor and all your stuff. And they've got like two power strips and a computer. So there was no shortage of sockets, of wall outlets. There was no shortage of Ethernet. Now, the internet connection.
So much power.
Yeah, the internet. Yeah, they had like when I was walking around, I saw like the fucking generators. They were fucking sucking down the juice. But the internet was throttled, at least with Steam and some other services. Like I was able to download Warcraft 3 and Frozen Throne, Reign of Chaos directly from Blizzard fairly quickly. But I went to Steam to download Rainbow Six Siege and it was like 20 kilobits a second. Yeah. And then it would jump up for a while and then it would drop back down. It was really sporadic.
And that's not QuakeCon's fault. That's just the local.
I think they purposely throttle it because you've got so many people trying to download stuff. So gotcha. A little pro tip, you know, download your games before you go there, especially if it's through Steam. Battle.net wasn't nearly as bad.
But where is this? Are you in a convention center or is it
it's
in
the
an
Hilton
arena?
Anatoly. So it's a giant hotel. Basically.
Okay.
So they do their panels in other rooms and then they have the BYOC in the big auditorium area and yeah, parking's a nightmare out there too. But yeah.
Did anybody actually play Quake at QuakeCon?
Oh yeah, people were playing Quake. They had 1v1 and 2v2 tournaments. Even out in the BYOC, people were playing Quake. Some people were playing retro games. I did see a little Dota. I saw a little League out there. I didn't see a lot of League at first, and I was like, this is kind of weird. I think there'd be a lot more of this. And then when I took the lap, I did see a lot of people playing that. Some people, like two rows down, were playing HOTS, and I could see their screen. And I was
telling them to heal that. You're the one shouting the only turd.
Well, I was looking over. I was like, maybe I should hit those dudes up, see if they want to, like, five-man, because there are four of them. I was like, oh, they need a fifth. But then I look over, and I start to notice they got the camera lock on. Then I see, like, their rank, and I'm like, ooh, maybe not.
Have
all
fun
right.
with that over there.
Good luck with that, guys.
You plebes. Yeah. So is this actually sponsored by id or anything like that?
Bethesda, I think, is the official sponsor of it. So everything out there, because Bethesda bought id.
Oh, okay.
So everything out there is hyping Bethesda games. So obviously prior years were really big with Fallout 4 and Doom. This year there weren't any huge releases. The one panel that I went there and they got a great app, by the way. You just mark all the things you want to go to and then it buzzes your phone 30 minutes before they start.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I was going to go to all these panels and exhibits and stuff. Only made it to one. And
why? Just because you're so tired? Or
well, I spent most of the time in the BYOC because that was really fun. And also, we didn't get there until late. Like, we didn't get there until like 2 o'clock at the earliest each day, and the panels start at 10. So I'm missing half of them anyway.
Because does it run all night?
Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, yeah, the BYOC 24/7. Yeah.
So before you get into the panel, the BYOC, is it what I envisioned Twitch chat would be in real life? Was it a lot of very sweaty, large guys with almost no girls and an odor coming off of this? Is this what I'm getting?
It wasn't that bad. The first day I was there, some dude sitting next to me just kept ripping ass. I was like, Jesus, is it going to be like this the whole time? It got better though. That only happened the first day. There is a lot of that out there and people are nerding out super hard. Like everybody's just wearing the geekiest t-shirt they could find. Like seriously, everybody out there is trying to out geek each other, like
that's
as hard
cool.
as they can. Yeah. Not a lot of girls. There were a few in the BYOC, a lot of girls, and you could tell like they're there because of their boyfriend.
Okay,
so yeah, I mean, there were a pretty good amount of girls out there, especially on Saturday. Like that's when everybody who wasn't just in the BYOC came. Like that was the big exhibit day.
Is this an older convention? I want to say 30s and up, right?
Are you talking about the age
of the people, the patrons?
Huge range. I saw young kids there. I saw like 40, 50-year-old dudes there. Huge range. Not a lot of people from out of town, though. Like, in the parking lot, all Texas plates.
Right.
So I don't think a lot of people are, like, making that journey. Because, I mean, how are you going to get these giant-ass computers on a plane? Like, that's... And monitors. Everybody out there was, like, rocking a widescreen. Our whole row was, like, fucking 34-inch... 29-inch, like, it was ridiculous.
Driving to Dallas, I mean, just, Texas is so big. Nobody wants to drive through that at all.
You know what's funny is when we were going to get a lift over there, I was looking at it on my phone, and it automatically, like, located my place in San Diego, and it was, like, estimated price was $200. I was like, really? $200 for a lift from Dallas, Texas to San Diego?
No way.
It can't be right.
No, that can't be right. No, that would be, like, $800.
Yeah, sure. And nobody would take that job, or maybe some crazy.
Somebody would have any day. Sure.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I want to drive for hours with that guy.
Yeah,
but yeah, so the BYOC was just so much fun. I noticed some people across the way from me were playing Overcooked. Like, there was a day where all the guys that had been playing and like their girlfriends came over on like Saturday, and then they were playing like all these co-op games, and one of them was Overcooked. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And everyone out there, super chill. Like, I felt like a gay dude at a pride parade. You know, there's just like no judgment. Everyone out there is just super into the scene. Like, you can have these nerdy conversations and people know exactly what you're talking about. You know, you could talk about fucking keyboards and what kind of keys are those, and like, you know, fans, and like, everybody just knows like computers. So it was really cool to just like be in that kind of culture, like face to face with these people. And when you walk around, you could be like, oh, that's a cool rig, you know, like, what'd you do here, what do you do that, and everyone's just like, like, super into talking about
and
it.
And I'm sure all you brought up was our podcast nonstop, right?
Yeah.
No, didn't promote the although Lab Monkey did rock the shirt the first day.
Everybody knew it was you, right?
Yeah.
So going to the BYOC all night long, was that worth...
You mangled that
missing,
abbreviation.
Missing all the panels and everything?
Yeah, it was... there's something about playing games like just with other gamers and just having to be kind of a social environment. I really did enjoy that part of it. I didn't, also these panels, like, you got to wait a while to get in there and then hopefully you get in. The one that I went to, the wait was not that bad. I only waited about 20 minutes and, it didn't even fill up. So I probably didn't even need to wait for that. You can get QuakeCon done quick for $150, and that gives you to the front of the line on each panel or any panel you want to go to. And it also lets you get in quicker for the registration. Mm-hmm. But you're talking like $40 versus $150. I don't know if that's worth it unless you go into every single panel.
You think you're going next year?
Yeah, I think I will. I'd do a few things differently. Like, I'd really like to bring a build out there.
Let's take a road trip. We'll see if we can schedule it for next year.
Yeah, let's get a big old van and just fucking haul some shit out there. Hey, I would definitely be down to do that.
We got the truck.
I can rent a trailer and we could pull it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Yeah, we should do that. That'll save it. We can sleep in it, too.
If anyone else wants to come, we'll pick you up along the way. We'll just hop in there.
So you live in Arizona, let us know.
Mm-hmm. So one last question. Was there food allowed on the BYOC floor?
Like, oh, yeah. They didn't give a fuck.
There's potential for a lot of like mishaps and people ruining other people's very expensive gear and everything.
Yeah. And you know, it's so weird because I had concerns about, I mean, I didn't bring any of my stuff out there. Lab Monkey was kind enough to let me borrow his gaming laptop. It actually worked really well for gaming. It was a pretty powerful one. But, you know, security was a concern that I had because you're just leaving your computer and stuff out there.
Yeah.
And also damages, like, people are eating in the BYOC. People are fucking chugging balls guarana like it's going out of style. I'll get more on that later, dude. I got a whole subsection on QuakeCon about
energy drinks.
not energy drinks, just balls. But because people were fucking stacking empties of that shit like towering up there, but. I don't know. It's like everybody out there is just, it's a cultural mentality almost. Everybody out there just knows, like, they're just not the kind of people that would fuck with your shit and like knows not to like spill something. Like they say no glass and no alcohol out there, but people sneak stuff in anyway. You're allowed to bring food out there and it's not that messy. Like I was just surprised at how well everybody was self-governed. Like, that's what really impressed me in the BYOC. Like, people weren't fucking dicks about shit. People weren't, like, well, they made messes, but only in their own area. Like, nothing was super smelly or obnoxious. They had the AC cranked so fucking hard that even if someone had been, like, there's no, like, sweating
okay,
real bad.
That's cool. That's good.
In the middle of the night, like, it got too cold. I brought a hoodie, and I was wearing pants the whole time, and I'm like, all right, this should be good. The middle of the night, I had to go outside to warm up and then come back in, like, a couple of times.
That's so
fun. Like, I got to go get some Texas heat for about 5 minutes and then come back in. Okay, here we go. I was literally, like, shivering by about 2 o'clock because there aren't as many people in the middle of the night out there. More people are leaving in the middle of the night, and you know, the ambient temperature outside gets a little bit cooler. So, yeah, it gets freezing.
Only $40, huh?
Yeah, $40 for the BYOC.
What,
cool. Just to go there, it's free. Like, you can go to the exhibit just straight up free.
Were people just standing up and shouting, like, who wants to group with me or something like that? And were they doing organic grouping or how, like?
Some people were. I saw some people going around saying, like, hey, man, we're trying to get a Dota 2 tournament going. I noticed you were playing. You want to get in on that? Or people were pretty social out there.
Huh. How did not everybody jump into one massive game of something, though?
Yeah, I would have thought, like, somebody would have, like, who sponsored it would have been like, okay, we're doing a 400-man.
Well, how many games support that?
Not a whole
lot.
Can
you get, like, so many people in there? Yeah. It was quite an experience. The BYOC was definitely my favorite part. If I did anything different, I mean, I crashed at Lab Monkey's place, and, like, literally we got home. I fucking passed out hard. We woke up. I took a shower, and we left. We were just there as much as we could be, but I think it might be worth getting a hotel room just so I could, like, get more sleep occasionally because I got fucking tired.
How far was Lab Monkey's place?
Not extremely far. I want to say, like, maybe a 15-20 minute drive.
Oh,
like, not super, super far at all.
Right.
But, like, there were definitely some times where I was just like, I need, like, 3 more hours of sleep because I'm, like, 10 years older than all the other guys that were out there. And I was with him and his friends. We went kind of as a big group there, and we're all sitting around each other. So that was really cool.
It's old hat for him also, him and his friends, or was this his first time? Or?
Oh, no, this is Lab Monkey's second time being out there.
Okay.
You weren't sucking down enough balls.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe not.
Balls,
so what's
harder.
Up with balls?
Balls Guarana is, like, the choice drink out there, apparently. They promote hard. They got a big old stand in the exhibit area where they're selling this by the case, and that's, like, all anybody is drinking out there. And I don't particularly care for it. It doesn't have the kick that Rockstar does, so I was craving, like, caffeine super hard. But, oh, my God, dude. Like, I've never seen more, like, empty balls cans in my entire life.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But balls always seems like they are specifically targeting gamers.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of, like, gaming tournaments are, like, sponsored by balls, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the earliest energy drinks I can remember. Like, when I would go to, like, a LAN in my early years, like, that's what they would have. It's, like, hand-in-hand with PC gaming almost. But
it's pretty much my goal in life to empty my balls, so...
we're not sponsored by balls, by the way, guys, but if you work for balls and want us to, let us know.
Yeah. Well, I'm not particularly fond of it. Like,
after Bobby's ringing endorsement of balls.
I just kicked the wire. Sorry, everybody.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, so there was a ton of that shit. I was a pretty popular spot in the BYOC was the Harambe Shrine. You can go on.
So ridiculous.
You can just Google Harambe Shrine and QuakeCon, and you'll see the pictures. I was sitting like 10 feet from that, but people were leaving empty cans, pieces of pizza, bananas there. It's basically a poster cut out of Harambe with like some lights around, like it was a candlelight vigil and shit. Like, it was pretty fucking ridiculous.
That's awesome, dude.
That dude was getting a whole lot of love. Like, everybody was checking that out.
So you want to talk about Prey in the Sun? I saw the trailer for Prey. I was not impressed at all.
Yeah, so the one panel I did go to was about an hour long, and they spent about a half an hour each on Prey and Dishonored, two upcoming games. Prey, I mean, graphically, yeah, it looked good. The interesting thing about the gameplay, they showed, like, a clip that had never been shown before. It was, like, an exclusive, no recording. But what was interesting about it is that the creatures that you're fighting are these weird little phantom creatures, and they can hide as objects. So
that's cool.
Watching the guy play through, he's running up to like trash cans and hitting them, you know, just like kind of like a pyro, checking. Like a flame check in TF2 where you check to make sure someone's like a pyro. Like, he's doing that with objects in the environment. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And you learn superpowers in this game. And one of them is you can do just that. You can turn into objects. So, and there was one part where he was trying to get through this small area, door was locked, so he turned into a coffee mug and flung himself through a little small crack in the window and was able to get into the room that way. So it looks like it'll have some interesting mechanics like that. I don't know. I mean, it looks good.
That sounds fun. I didn't show any of that in the trailer I saw. What, so.
Is it an FPS?
Yeah, FPS. Yeah.
First-person shooter. You're on a space station in outer space, obviously. And I don't know. Like, it looks kind of generic, but watching the trailer, like, the little details to the superpowers, and you could, like, combine them to turn yourself into an object and then fling yourself over there. Like, they could get really creative with that. That seems like something new I could get on board with. So that was cool.
Dishonored 2
basically looked like more of the same, more Dishonored, which, I mean, is good.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
Because I don't like stealth games and I don't like steampunk, but yet I really like Dishonored. Like, when they just do something really well, I mean, you can't
good
hate
is good.
It.
Yeah, Chad, did you play it?
I played a little bit of Dishonored. It didn't hook me, but I watched more than I played for Dishonored. I've watched people play it, but.
And the exhibit area?
The exhibit area, they had another small area that was showing off indie games. The Balls station was set up there selling T-shirts. The one indie game that I checked out was Steam Night, and it was pretty cool. I mean, they literally had two little indie game stands, and one of them was Steam Night. And it was just like a game that some college kids had made, and they're like, it got a pretty good response. Let's try to put this on Steam Greenlight. And you know, good for them. It was an interesting puzzle game, kind of like Super Meat Boy, where you try to make your way through the level, and it one hit and you're dead, so you just basically learn by repetition. Yeah, pretty interesting game, good for them. The thing that I was really wanting to check out was Shadow Warrior 2. They had a very big booth there. You could play the game. They had a demo set up. It seemed a lot like the original Shadow Warrior, which I'm happy about. It kind of has that spirit of the old school FPS, just with fucking crazy guns. It's just like, here's this, you know, double Uzi or something like that. And the melee was pretty cool, like just like the original Shadow Warrior. It has that like melee mechanic, kind of like War of the Roses or Chivalry, where the way you move your mouse controls how you swing the sword.
Is Shadow Warrior the one that has like the katana and stuff like that you could do?
Yeah, it's like the super sacred sword, and he's making all the Wang jokes because the guy's name is Wang. Yeah,
it's very Duke Nukem, right?
Yeah, but Asian. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm glad I got a chance to play it out there. The graphics look spectacular, by the way. I was very, very impressed with that. No idea what engine they're using. One of the big things out there that I didn't get a chance to check out was the VR demo of Doom and Fallout 4. This is coming to VR, or VR is coming to these games, apparently, VR support. And the line to get in there, like, here's how long it was. I got there, and Lab Monkey and his brother-in-law went to go check. They got in line for that, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go run off, do something. I went back to the BYOC, hung out there for a minute, then I went to the panel, then I came back, and I was like, holy shit, they're about halfway through the line. Okay. And then, like, seriously, they were in line for so long, it was incredible. But
they did do it.
Yeah, they did it. I didn't have a chance to do it. I wasn't too interested because I was like, VR, I've already kind of done that. But they used my first question was like, how do you move around, you know? And they used the teleport.
Oh, okay.
And one of the sticks in the Vive, they had Vives, by the way. One of the sticks in the Vives will move you. So you're using one to like move around you, kind of pointing downward with it. And you're using the other one pointing in front of you to shoot.
That's so unimmersive, man. I wish, I don't know.
How do you do movement in a game like that? I mean, with Fallout 4, you kind of have to use the teleport thing, but then that interferes with game mechanics. I don't know. It's a really tough bridge to
cross. Maybe you do it as a seated game, and you just use a controller like...
Yeah.
Or there's that touchpad on the top, right? So why not, if you're moving to the right on the touchpad, you strafe right, and then if you go this way, straight left?
Yeah.
I don't know. There must be a reason. Obviously, they tried it out.
You get motion sickness if... you are moving
one way, but
unrelated
your head's
to your head moving. It's kind of like you're on rails or something, like you're on skates.
I want to see someone make a game for this that is like trying to make you as motion sick as possible.
It's probably going to come out.
Just drop the frame rate.
It's just going to be like Vomit Inducer 2.0 or something. Yeah. Like, make a game specifically
to
make
Epicac
you throw up.
And, yeah. Just go to town.
So, I mean, that was pretty much my QuakeCon experience. It was definitely awesome. I highly recommend going to that. If you're anywhere in the vicinity, it is definitely worth it. I don't know if it justifies a plane trip if you're not going to do the BYOC, though. I mean, the exhibit area is relatively small compared to other conventions I've been to.
Compare it to other conventions. Have you been to E3? Have you been to PAX?
Never been to E3 BlizzCon. Or PAX. Never been to BlizzCon. Been to Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
They used to do one out in New York called Digital Life that I went to.
I'm kind of curious because, you know, I haven't done BlizzCon, but I've done all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be curious to go out to QuakeCon. And
it sounds like this one's a lot less walky.
Not a lot of walking. I feel like the center of this con is the BYOC. Like, that's the heart and soul of it. Even the panels were, like, extremely short. I was expecting, like, fucking 2.5-hour keynotes or something. Yeah. And shit was, like, an hour. They showed two videos. Dude came out, said, like, 5 sentences. I mean, they kept it brief. They did a lot of good swag. I think I gave Lab Monkey my free copy of Elder Scrolls Online, but I may have some.
How'd you get that?
From the panel. They gave it to me.
Oh, cool.
I got 2 shirts. Really impressed with the shirt quality, too. I liked the shirt and the design they had there.
What were they talking about at the... So when you went to the panel for Prey, and they were just talking about the game? They didn't say anything?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, they were very brief. They basically just, like, said a few things and then played the video. Cool. And it was like a never-before-seen video. It's really all about the hardware out there, too. Like, PC Perspective, which is a great site, by the way, they were out there doing some shit, and they actually recorded an episode of This Week in Computer Hardware out there, which is a podcast I listened to. And I wanted to go to the live recording, but they did it at like 10 a.m. But everybody's just super focused on like the hardware and the gaming. It wasn't as much media what's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't like as promotional as most conventions are.
Yeah, cool.
What I would think is somebody would be trying to give away, you know, keys to games, so people would be playing it, and you'd see other people playing it, they'd get hyped, want to play it and stuff like that. I'm a little surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think there was a little bit of that. I'm not sure where I got it from, but Lab Monkey had given me like a thing for a RTS called Drop Zone. So I think some people were like handing some stuff out there. Doing a
seems
bit of
like a grassroots type. This seems more like PAX than E3.
We should have had somebody go out there and hand out, you know, business cards or something.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe
we just go into the BYOC and we just put up a big ass banner or something.
Yeah, anything
with the fucking gorilla on it.
Harambe and DL Gaming.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
All right, let's talk about some other stuff.
All right,
We got our hands on M.exe. That's the game that our buddy.
I thought you guys were waiting.
I'm just basically just saying this.
Oh.
But we're gonna have him on. It's definitely Pokemon for Steam. And it's very early, but if you want to support our buddy, it's m.exe. It's got a long way to go, but we'll have him on and find out what the green light process is like. Chad and I both played Soulforge. What made you download that?
It was on the list of new arrivals to Steam, so I don't know if it's recently gone free to play. I don't know if it's recently got onto Steam. I'm not sure.
I feel like it's been out forever. When did this come out, Bobby? July 22nd? July 25th?
I feel like I played this. Oh, no, this is a card game. Okay.
Yeah. I guess it is new. I don't know. That was my bad then. I thought it was as old. Maybe it's the font or something.
No, it is old. They're on like their fourth set or something. But I think it's recently to Steam. I don't think it was on Steam before this.
Hey, Bobby, what am I playing right now? Apparently, I'm playing something. I bet it's Binding of the Isaac.
Binding of the Isaac.
Yeah.
Let's see. You are playing of Isaac.
That's
Rebirth.
Samantha playing. That's my girlfriend playing.
Anyways, to get back to Soulforge. So Soulforge is a collectible card game online similar to a Hearthstone or Hex, Shards of Fate, or a bunch of other ones.
Or Magic, the mother of them all.
Or Magic, the mother of them all.
This is pretty streamlined.
Yeah.
This is just the fun part, and none of the... It's just combat, basically. There's no mana...
Not a whole lot of thinking involved.
Well,
that's not what you want out of a card game, though.
Well, there is thinking, but it's you only get... You get 5 cards in your hand, and you have to... And you play 2 cards each turn. So of the 5, you're basically picking 2 cards that you want to play. And then you pick one of these 5 channels that you drop them in, and then it fights automatically. And then you get a whole new set of 5 cards, and then you pick the 2 cards you want to play.
So it gets paired up against 2 of your opponent's cards. And so it's like war.
Sort of. It's magic or Hearthstone, but you've got these 5 channels. So you put your
lanes,
card.
I would call them lanes.
Or lanes or whatever. Yeah. So you put your card in one of these five. And if your opponent doesn't have a card, the battle, you just hit into the enemy. But if he does put a card up there, then the two hit each other.
So you put them face down and then...
No, they're face up.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to get this across.
So your opponent can place a card and then you can place one in front of it to defend it?
Or not.
To defend it. Or okay. not.
Or so, you could put it to the right or left of it and then they'd miss each other.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So yeah, I'm just...
The cards only hit the one spot in front of them.
Okay. So you have to figure out, what card is really good at going against the one that he just played. Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
And then there are spells... But there aren't instants. I mean, they're all kind of instants. There's no, interrupts. There's no secrets. There's no trap cards. Meaning, you play on your turn, and then when it's not your turn, you have no say. Mm-hmm. You've played your cards, and then when it's your turn, you get to play your cards again.
And this all sounds like we're shitting on it, but I found it very fun.
I was having a great time with this game.
If you've thought that maybe... other card games were too heady or the learning curve is too high. This is just, I feel like somebody might be even be able to luck themselves into a victory sometimes.
Yeah, but some of the stuff I was explaining to you, because you're used to Magic and Hearthstone and all this, you were like, what? What do you mean? Like, there's no mana. There's no casting cost. There's no, all five cards in your hand, you can play. But there is still strategy on which cards you want to play. It's deeper than just that.
Some might say it makes it even more important which you play, because you can play anything.
Exactly. And they have this whole mechanic where the cards level up. So if you play a card, it can get shuffled back in your deck, but this time as a level 2 card. So if you see that card again, it'll be powered up, and then you can level them up even more. So it's got this whole mechanic of these cards... And they level up, and it's cool when you go into the art of them. It's got the three different stages of this card, so it'll be kind of a dog thing, and then it'll be a fierce dog with horns, and then the level 3, it'll be that same dog, but it'll be flaming or something like that.
So kind of a little Pokemon thing going on here.
Yeah, they level up, which I thought was.
And your cool. character levels up during.
Yeah,
and you as the wizard level up as well.
So it's a free to play game, but it looks like they have some downloadable content for this.
Well, it's collectible card game, so you can buy packs, you can open packs, you can earn packs, and then they have a drafting system, which I've started a little bit. They give you enough to do one draft when you first get in, and the draft is sort of set up a combination between Hearthstone and Magic. It's set up in Hearthstone where you've got a selection of cards. You pick one, and then you get a new selection of cards. So you're not drafting with other people like you do in Magic. But the thing that's similar to Magic is the cards you're drafting, you actually get to keep. It's not like Hearthstone where you just draft, and then at the end of it, you get a pack or whatever.
You could just rare draft.
You could rare draft in this game.
And probably do well as well, because you can play them.
Yeah. The rare cards tend to be the better cards.
Right.
And it's got colors similar to Magic. I forget how many colors they have.
But when I want to say four, but...
When you're in the draft, so you pick a color, and then when you pick a second color, then all the cards you get to choose from are only those two colors.
Oh, interesting.
So it's smart enough to know you've already selected your cards, so that's what goes.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's mixed reviews, but Chad and I both liked it. Now, that being said, I only played it for about an hour, Chad.
I've probably played for 4 hours or so.
And we've played a lot of card games, and we like this, so that's saying something.
I think people are complaining about the developers on this one and how they're not supporting it or something like that.
Oh.
But if you're in there, there's no downside. It's free to play.
Yeah. And you get a free pack for every tutorial you go through. Yeah.
I searched around on the internet and found some codes and ended up getting 10 free packs.
Yeah, and they worked for me too. So just go to Reddit and look for Soulforge packs.
Yeah, nice. So.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
That's Soulforge, Soulforge.
That would be a recommend.
Yeah, that's a recommend. For free, for sure.
Yeah.
There's no downside.
Yeah, for sure. I played Song of the Deep, and it's funny because I just played a submarine game probably 3 weeks ago, something like that.
What was that one that you played?
That one was Aquatic Adventures of the Last Human.
That's right.
This is very similar. The Aquatic Adventures was more of a boss battle game where basically the only action really is when you get to the bosses, but they're very difficult bosses.
Oh, this is Insomniac.
Yeah, this is... Hmm. And that was 8-bit graphics. This is more along the lines of... Ori and the Blind Forest as far as the visuals.
So like painted.
This is, yeah, painted backgrounds. This is, and your character is 3D. So it's that kind of like that 2.5D thing going on where it's 3D modeling on a 2D surface. And what you end up getting is this really beautiful underwater. And the music is fantastic. Really, really good. Really serene, calm game. Sam was like, wow, that really looks like something I would enjoy. I'm enjoying it. It's not action-packed. It's some puzzle solving. The combat's somewhat simplistic, but it's just pleasant to be under the water and look around. It's a very Metroidvania where, you know, you're getting items that so you can unlock this new kind of door and go back the other way kind of thing. But it's really, yeah, just calm and refreshing and nice, just pleasant. So I'd recommend it. I guess it's $14.99 now. I've seen it for $9.99, though, I think, on sale. And, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, didn't blow me out of the water, but just nice. I didn't even mean to say it.
That wasn't even an intended pun.
I'm too tired for cleverness.
Cool, yeah. Cool. Let's talk Overwatch just real quick. They released their Olympic one, so for the next 2 weeks or so, if you earn loot boxes or purchase loot boxes, you can do the Olympic version. It's kind of cool that every box you open is guaranteed one Olympic one, but I feel like if they're only doing it for 2 weeks...
There's no way to get everything.
You're going to have to spend $200 to get everything or more.
Yeah, I read an article on that because it seemed really weird the way that they were doing this at first, because these are items, skins, sprays, and I think that's it, just skins and sprays. No, there are other ones.
No, there's victory emotes.
Yeah, it's all the usual things. But everybody really wants the skins. And you can only get these during this three-week period, I think till August 22nd. And then once that goes away, you can't get it, I think, ever again. Or they said, the developer said, he made a comment suggesting that these will be around again next Olympics, but then he said next year for the Olympics. I was like, I don't think we're having the Olympics. You know, isn't that every 4 years?
Yeah,
so I was a little confused by his wording in the article, but it seems like they're trying to make stuff like actually rare. Like, this is your opportunity to get it, which to me seems like just a total grab for money. Like, dump all the money you can on loot crates right now, get as much as you can because this is your last opportunity. But in another way, it also just creates a rarity that we rarely see in games.
Yeah, and that's nice because Smite did that kind of stuff where, hey, you can only get this right now. But then
I hate that.
Why?
For your Smite example, there was who was it where he had different ranks? It was the
pool noodle guy.
No. Was it the ninja?
No, it was the death guy who could fly up in the sky and come down and kill somebody. Thanatos.
And he has one skin that is 10 times cooler than any other skin. And it was one of those ones that is only around for a limited time and is gone. Every time I saw that skin, I wanted to play the game less and less because I knew I could never get it. Like, that doesn't...
But that's what makes it cool. If everybody's running around with that skin, it makes it not cool.
I know, but don't say it will never show up again. You know, if you say...
But that's not true, though, too, because everything kind of cycled back eventually.
That's not what they said. They said they will never give that skin away. That's one of the reasons I stopped playing Smite.
For one skin.
As petty as that sounds, the idea that I there's no way, nothing I can do to earn that.
I didn't like that you couldn't buy this new stuff. You should be able to buy it with the in-game currency.
That was
my big...
See, again, I feel like they're kind of strong-arming... Well, they're not even strong-arming you. They are forcing you to buy loot crates to get this gear. If you want to get one of these skins, you're probably... It is highly unlikely that you're going to get that through playing the game, leveling up, getting a loot crate, and then just opening, like, a handful of loot crates and getting it. Like, that's very unlikely.
There's no way.
It's just fucking cosmetic. Who really cares? I don't know. It's not that big of a deal.
I think the fact that you don't care means that this doesn't really apply to you.
It makes it that much more special if I get one, is the way I see it.
It's true. Yeah. But the idea that it's never going to be available again, I like the idea of him saying, you know, it's not going to be available for a while. It'll be, you know, like... But totally excluding it is I think wrong. Anyways, I did buy a 50 pack for the Olympics one.
You did pretty well.
I did decent. So I got...
of the, what, eight skins?
So when it like comes four. Down to skins,
yeah.
I got the Zarya, one of the Zarya ones. I got one of the Tracer ones. I got the Torbjörn color change for his Swedish one. I got the...
That's what they did. Like, everybody's representing their... Well, a lot of the guys are representing their countries.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got the Mercy one representing her country.
Genji.
My bad. Genji, and I got the D.Va one.
Did you see the Genji one, Bobby?
I don't think
He's
so.
He's, like,
no.
all white.
It's all white with the red circle of Japan on him.
It's pretty sick.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. The one I really wanted was the McCree. I wanted
the American flag on it.
American flag. Yeah. And I saw somebody had that at QuakeCon.
Yeah, I didn't get that one. And then the other one that I really wanted was... what was the other reskin? There was the ones
Lucio that, had one. I got the Lucio.
I got two Lucio skins.
Did you buy?
Yeah, I bought one. Yeah, see, I suckered right into it. I wanted to see their sales, like, pre-August 2nd, and then I want to see how many people bought loot crates. I'm telling you, they made so much fucking money off of this.
I am buying crates, but I'm playing a hell of a lot more because I do want this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are grinding. Yeah, I really wanted the American flag icon, the player icon, actually. I got the Swedish one and the Greece one, but that was actually... the thing that I was kind of hoping for the most.
There's some funny, like...
That's a purple drop, isn't it?
No. It's a white one.
Oh, wow.
It's a... there's some funny voice ones for this one. Reaper has one that says it's in the fridge for some reason.
I got that one.
Did anybody understand what that meant?
It's in the refrigerator.
If you guys know what that means, let us know, please. Yeah. It's in the fridge.
Yeah. And the voice lines didn't seem to really correspond to...
Olympics.
To the Olympics. Although the Lucio one, he's like, it's like something about being a champion or something like that. Yeah. You know, incredibly upbeat.
Metal victory poses that they're holding.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are really cool. Hey, Bobby, did you see the emote for Bastion when he does the boxing?
Yeah, I got that one.
Rocket talking. Oh, that is so awesome.
The Bastion has an Olympic-themed voice pack. And it's just like, bzz, bzz.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what the fuck? That's just a line.
Like, I play Bastion a lot, and you can go to.
You are a Bastion player.
You go to. Yeah, man. I told you, I unabashedly play Bastion. Yeah. But you can go to, like, all these things and try to say all these things on his emotes, and they're all just beep, boop, beep. Yeah. He's like R2-D2.
To chirp on one of them at least or something. What the fuck?
I don't think we've ever talked about skins that much before. Okay.
Death Road to Canada.
Yeah. So but we're going to talk about that later, right?
Yeah, or something. End.
Okay. So Death Road to Canada is a roguelike travel. What do we call these? Everybody always say it's like Oregon Trail. But
it's an Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
I mean, Metroidvania gets their own theme. Why can't we just call them It's an Oregon Trail?
We need another game like Oregon Trail that we can merge mash that.
A trail game? How about that?
Sure, trail game.
Okay.
We'll go with it.
This is a trail game and a roguelike. So basically you are trying to get to Canada because there's zombies everywhere. It's a very random game. All kinds of random shit is happening to you all the time, like holes in your backpack and all your food falls out the back. Or you run into a dog and the dog is friendly. Or you run into a dog and the dog is hostile. And or you run into these different people. What's really interesting is that, you know, they have some RPG elements where you can level certain kinds of... Wow, that guy's strong.
Yeah.
Dang. You can level up different kinds of abilities. So mechanic, you know, so you can fix the car. You know, different kinds of things. Cook food, stuff like that. Medical. But here's the trick. You don't know if you're good or bad at any of these things until you actually try them. And then your stats are revealed. So all your stats are random until you really check them. But it's kind of like when somebody left the East Coast trying to get to California in 49.
Yeah.
Like the people who left and the people who actually got there is a completely different group of people. Like, so Chad and I started as Chad and Emilio. And by the end, the guy who got closest to... Canada was this guy like named Kevin, like this emo dude.
Yeah.
And we were long dead.
What's kind of funny is we were trying to play co-op, but so you can start with two people, but if somebody dies, then you're one person and the other guy's not playing. But then you can kind of pick up people, and so don't get too attached to the character you are if you're playing this game, because.
But you can control each of the characters that you pick up. How do they divide that up?
You can have up to four people in your party, and the computer will just play the other guys that you're not.
And they
controlling.
Do pretty well, I think.
Yeah, they just kind of follow you around and attack when somebody gets close. Mm-hmm. It's honestly, I think one person with three computer guys will probably work better than two people.
Yeah, it's a little less fun though. It's definitely not streamlined for multiplayer. Yeah. It's a little harder with two people.
Yeah.
But it's more fun.
The camera is always centered on the player one.
Yeah, if I run out of the room, Chad just is stuck in the other room.
Yeah.
So we have to like plan on leaving together.
You actually have to talk and stuff. Yeah. But the game's hilarious. There's just ridiculous events that happen, and the vehicle you're driving runs out of gas. Gas is one of the resources you have to keep in track of, and it really is like Oregon Trail, where somebody gets sick or he's got healing points and you can heal them, you know, that sort of thing.
But totally random shit. And you'll be running into these weirdos on the street and whether or not you want them to join you and stuff. I've heard there's like, you can pick up like Rambo and like guys that you're, you know, it's obvious who they're, he's going to be good at shooting, right?
Okay.
Or there's just like weird characters. So, that adds to even more random. But anyway, just bottom line, this is a lot of fun, and roguelike, it's right up my alley, and zombies even more up my alley, and Chad actually liked it.
Yeah. It's also one of these games where, you know, some of our listeners say, you know, you guys have fun because you're doing it together. But I think in this game in particular, you'd have fun even if you're playing it
for
by
sure.
yourself.
Yeah.
Now, I've played it by myself. Is it like FTL in the sense that you can play a game and not beat it, but still have a really good time?
Oh,
for sure.
We didn't ever beat it.
I don't even expect to get to Canada ever. I don't know.
Canada's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't see
I'm more interested in just seeing what happened.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
It's more about the journey than the destination.
Mm. And seeing how strong you can get your character, because we never got our character strong at all.
Yeah.
So.
Every once in a while, you'll do
FT
something.
FT Trail, maybe? FT Trail?
Ooh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Okay.
Although, FTL isn't really a trail game, is it?
Sort of, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. FT Trail, wow. Boom, nailed it.
All right, should we talk WoW then?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if we mentioned the price on Death Road to Canada, but that's $14.99 right now on Steam.
I'd say that's nice, but it'll probably be going on sale, but I'd buy it.
It seems like one of the games that'll be on Humble Bundle in a couple months.
Yeah, definitely. But $15 isn't asking a whole lot.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Especially for a good game.
Yeah.
We got a listener question regarding World of Warcraft. This is coming from Captain Gummy. He says, would this be a game that I could get my wife into? She doesn't play many games since she gets frustrated easily. I haven't played it either. Oh, he hasn't played it. Is it a decent game for new players or more oriented towards those who have been playing it for a long time? Can it be a casual game? Short answer, yes, absolutely. This game is definitely casual. And I'm coming at this from a very interesting place because I literally just last night reactivated my subscription to World of Warcraft for the first time in years with Legion coming out. And
your characters still there, Bob?
Oh, yeah. All my characters are still there, but I started a new one.
Which server? Because I'm
Undermine. Playing. Yeah, I've been on Undermine all.
Is that so? Before you get in too much, let me just put my two cents. Captain Gummy, if you're going to play with your wife, pick a PvE server. Don't pick a PvP server. Mm-hmm. That would be my only note. And on that vein, is Undermine a PvE or PvP or
it is
RP?
PvE, yeah. Most servers are PvE. PvP means that you have two sides, Alliance and Horde, and PvP means that you can attack each someone on the other side whenever you want, no matter what disparity in levels. So you kind of just open yourself up to more difficulties, which I don't find enjoyable, but some people do. So yeah, I'd recommend playing on a PvE server. You can fight people in PvP mode in other areas, and you can still PvP in that. You can set your flag to PvP mode so you can attack other people.
You can.
Let me cut in directly for this before you get into WoW as well. If she's not a game player, I think WoW is incredibly complex.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
You know, it kind of is when you get later into it. It starts off very simple, and you build up to that, and the building up takes a very long time, and they just like hammer into the skills that you need through repetition. So yes, it is complicated, but yeah, if she's not a PC gamer, controlling the camera in that game and just kind of those things could be It could be a little off-putting.
See, I kind of think of WoW in the same vein as I think of The Sims, where you have a character and you start investing in it, and you get outfits and like.
But if you've never seen an XP bar, you've never seen items, you've never seen an inventory, you've never seen levels.
Well, he says she doesn't play mini games since she gets frustrated easily. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think WoW is kind of the pinnacle of not being frustrated. There's never really a point in WoW where you're like, this is too hard, or you can just do something else.
It's mostly a time sink. Like, if you invest enough time, you'll get through it. It's not a matter of skill or ability in most cases. I mean, there are, like, higher-level stuff where, that does
become PvP,
a factor.
Or PvP, Arena, and all that stuff.
And, you know, coming back to WoW, because I haven't played it in years, but coming back to it now and starting a brand-new character and going through the whole process and kind of rediscovering the game, because I'm playing on the Horde, which I most of my characters were Alliance before. I'm playing a Horde character. Started out as a Tauren. I've never started that from that area before.
Cool area, huh?
Yeah.
One of the coolest cities.
No, it's different than when...
Oh, really?
The starting area is different.
Yeah, Mulgore, I think, is the starting area that I started in. But it's kind of a new experience for me in a lot of ways. So
you never
did
a Tauren?
No. I had one other...
That's my Horde favorite
Two other Horde characters, a Blood Elf and a Troll. I think I had an undead.
Oh, you were mostly an Alliance guy?
Yeah, mostly Alliance. Which I'd always
try to make stupid-ass builds. I was obsessed with making a stun mace build with a rogue, with a troll. It never worked out. I wasted so many hours of my life because there was a stun hammer.
I went Shokadin for quite a bit of time, and that was a fruitless endeavor. I mean, it was fun, but not very effective.
Yeah, I did the same thing. In Vanilla WoW, I played a shaman just... In any respect, shamans were just so fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's crazy how much the game has changed, because what was OP then is not OP now. They've streamlined the game so much. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, there used to be... On one hand, I miss the freedom of just being able to change whatever you want and do everything your own way. But on the other hand, I can see how it's a lot more user-friendly and... Streamlined is the best word, because especially with the questing system, it is set up to be so easy for you now. It used to be so much more difficult, but now it's
You had to find those hidden quests and all.
Yeah.
Now it's like, they're pointed out on the minimap, right?
Mm-hmm. They pointed out on the minimap. They just link you from area. They have a new window called the Adventure tab where it says like, hey, here are three things that you can do. You can go to this dungeon, you can go to this PvP area, or you can start this quest in this area and we'll mark it out for you. So if you ever are at a point where you're like, I'm not sure where I should go from here or what I should do, like, that just gives it away. I mean, WoW is not a simple game, and because I have a history with it, like, I pick up on it very quick. For a brand new player, it could be a little difficult, but this is a great person or a great game to play with another person.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, as a couple, this would be a perfect game for that.
A lot of couples, like, built their relationship on this game. A lot.
Mm-hmm. Or found their significant other on this one.
Yeah.
But one thing I love about this too is that you are in a world with other people, and you know, it's the interactions that you, or the people that you come across, you can interact with in different ways. I ran up and started mining something in front of some guy right before he was going to do it, and he just typed in dot, 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 so that just comes up with a little speech bubble above his head. And I was like, oh, yeah, other people. You know, it's been a while since I've had a game like that.
But does the world feel full?
What's weird is I'm playing it on a really high resolution monitor now, and it looks so barren to me, not with people, but just with trees and bushes. It feels like they tried to really save on resources, and like the Tauren starting area is just like this expansive plain, you know, it looks like a desert. There's just nothing.
But that is
there.
Kind of like they're from the Great Plains, you know, kind of thing. So
that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am enjoying it. It's weird to see the changes. It feels incredibly grindy. I think I'm level 24 on this paladin, and it has felt like such a grind.
Tauren paladin? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They did that years ago, right?
Yeah. Paladins, Horde don't have a lot of races that can be paladins, but Taurens are one of them.
That's so weird to me.
Yeah, and
you still went paladin? You might as well just stayed Alliance.
I always play paladin. I love paladins. But I want to try something new, but I think I've tried just about every class, even monk for a brief minute.
Well, you can get on my beta. You can try out...
I think that comes out tomorrow, doesn't it?
The 30th.
But the Demon Hunter class, someone was telling me that actually comes out August 9th.
If you pre-order.
If you pre-order.
Yeah, I did pre-order.
I thought it was
there you go.
A week early, but I don't remember.
But don't you want to... you can't start that guy from level 1.
Yeah, and they give you a level 100 upgrade, so I could upgrade any of my characters to level 100.
And they also have a thing where you can try out a class, and it's kind of got a tutorial that you get to play on how the class functions.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's a guy like walking it through. I've seen the Death Knight one. So it'll start you with one ability. There's like a target dummy in front of you, and he's like, this is the ability that does this. Try it out on this guy. And then it'll give you another ability and says, okay, this is how you mix this in, or now you want to attack with your pet. So it kind of walks you through how to play it.
Bobby, did you get any pangs of nostalgia when you saw your old characters?
Not really, no.
Really?
I mean, you can see them all the time online anyway. But yeah, seeing them, I was like, oh, that's cool. And I logged into my my main account, and I immediately got like a message from a guy I used to play with. He was just like, holy shit.
Wow, he's been on this whole time,
Look
huh?
Who's back.
So the one thing that I miss that I'm nostalgic for is the talent trees with the different abilities point, and you can make decisions and all.
Right.
That's all gone, right?
Why? That is completely gone.
15 levels,
yeah.
You get one.
Every 15 levels, you get three options,
yep,
and you choose one of those options.
That sounds terrible.
Well, the thing about it, and I understand, I remember when they had made the initial change, they had a different version of it even before the one that they have now, but everybody was choosing the exact same thing. It's like, okay, you're going a holy build, all right, then you're taking these talents. And nobody was...
I always try to hit the wacky route.
Again, they've streamlined WoW so much now that, like, looking back on it, like, I can see the benefits, but I also kind of miss the freedom.
Oh, in this case, maybe, like, there's no bad builds now.
Well, so they have it set up so there's not a right or wrong choice.
Yeah.
It's more kind of
you can't
trying
make a bad build.
To decide how you wanna, play your guy.
Yeah. But I don't know. The biggest enjoyment I had from World of Warcraft was figuring things out. Like, that was a game where you would just... something would click and you'd be like, oh, if I do this now, if I use this gear, if I stack this stat, if I build this way, then I'm going to do this so much better.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff just coming together, and then like seeing, like going into the instance or the dungeon and then seeing a marked improvement. Like, that's what was so satisfying about that game for me. And now it kind of feels like everybody's a superstar, you know, everybody can be good. You know, it's just like they've compressed that whole thing. I don't know. I haven't got to any late game, so I have no idea what it's like at the end. I don't even know if I'll make it that far. I'm not sure how long this phase is.
Are you having fun?
I am. Yeah. I mean, I'm having fun. I mean, it's the early leveling, and again, it just feels incredibly grindy and boring now.
Really grindy? Even at like level 20? I was getting
It's getting a lot
so
better.
Fast.
Now that you can instantly queue into these dungeons, the dungeons are kind of a joke at that level, though. Like, I queue in there, and I basically spent one dungeon just trailing behind my team, skinning the animals that were left behind, and my team was just four-manning the rest of it. Yeah, you know,
how it is anytime we ever play anything with Bobby, by the way. He's always just in the back, kind of like... looking at stuff.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like on Borderlands, you know, when people are just like clicking through all the text and just going on to the next thing really quick, and you are perpetually behind everybody because you just can't catch up at that point. That's kind of how it was. And the best part about dungeons and WoW was like, okay, here's the plan. Like every
that's going to be like that at endgame.
Yeah, an endgame will be like that. But that's another thing I loved about it. It was like every play was like a football. It was like a down. I'm thinking of sports terms here. It was like a down. It's like, okay, you're going to frost trap that guy. You're going to sheep that guy. And we're all going to DPS that guy. And I'm going to draw aggro. Once he dies, we get the frost trap guy. It's like he had a plan going into everything. And everyone had to work together as a group to make something happen.
I feel like you guys are talking about a girlfriend of mine that I haven't heard about for in years. I forgot about her. I'm like, oh, fuck. Do I have a niche to go? Is there a niche there that I need to go scratch?
Next week, the only thing we have in highlights and lowlights, World of Warcraft.
Oh, God. We'd lose all our listeners.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people are really playing that. I don't know. Even at QuakeCon, did not see... I don't even know if I saw one single person playing World of Warcraft.
Hmm.
But they were playing lots of Blizzard games.
Yeah, that is true. all right, so we got anything else? Nope. Esports.
Oh, okay. So I've been watching TI6.
Yeah.
You guys have any T TI6 views going on yet?
Not yet. I plan to watch that. The HOTS regionals were taking place while I was out at QuakeCon.
A lot of VODs to catch up.
Well, I tried to watch it out there, and it was one day the stream was totally fucked. Couldn't watch anything at all. Next day, it was a lot better. I went 2 gigs over my limit on my phone trying to watch it. So I'll be paying for that. But the TI6 is starting up. I'm going to watch a little bit here and there, but when the grand finals happen, I'm going to be glued to my
Happened because I'm 2 days behind on my VOD watching for TI6. I've been watching a lot of stuff. It's a lot of fun. I forget, like, Dota more than any other MOBA is, they have such a range on where they spike in power. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like League of Legends is very flat. Like,
very linear.
Yeah. Everybody's got the same power level. Mm-hmm. And Dota is just completely different up and down on the board. I have so much fun watching Dota 2. But so watch it wherever you watch their VODs, but I highly recommend.
Yeah.
And the announcing's pretty good. League of Legends is still a lot better as far as the production value right now, but once it gets under like the out of the group stage, it's going to be really nice. Yeah.
And is this the prize pool? It's not going to grow anymore?
I think it's locked.
Okay. Yeah, if it's already started, then I think this is locked.
So $20 million,
$20.1 million, yeah. Up from 18.6 last year.
So even 16th place is going to get $100,000. Actually,
the last four
are going to get $100,000
each. But $100,000 is only not even 1%, 0.5% of the
prize. A lot of money. Biggest esports event. I even played a little bit of Dota the other night trying to check it out again. And, oh, my God, that game is so slow compared to HOTS.
Yeah. It's just you got to buy and worry about the courier.
You got the time to do it. I mean, that pretty much is your early game. And then just staying in your lane doing shit, it's just... Oh my God. Like I got pretty bored until like the end of the match, but I don't know if I could ever get it.
How long are those games?
Like 40 minutes.
I played Frostmaiden. And again, I'm playing like a more support type character, so Crystal Maiden.
Oh, Crystal Maiden.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Frostmaiden. She has all frost spells, but yeah.
So first place is going to get close to $9 million.
8.8.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Split five ways.
But the exciting news really about the whole thing is, when is this going to go into play?
It's already live. It went live 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, wow. The VR spectator mode. But here's the thing. VR spectator mode, I think that means you have to actually be a spectator in the game.
Correct. But you can also watch old ones using VR.
Okay, so you can rewatch the VOD.
You can rewatch the
VOD. They'll put the actual replay file somewhere, and then you can rewatch
that.
So
does anybody know what perspective you have here?
Okay, stadium? From what I've read, and I checked out the article on Steamed, you go in and you're basically watching a theater, and you're watching it with other heroes from Dota 2. So you could watch that. And then you could jump into the mini-map, and then you're in a flying view over top of the map, and you can watch in spectator view of that mode. And then there's a third way to watch it where you're actually down on the ground.
Oh my
God.
So
you can watch the action as...
That sounds fucking awesome.
As, you know, like you're there watching them do their thing.
In one of the Vive videos, I think they actually showed part of this, part of the Dota 2 VR experience. But, I mean, it kind of sucks you can't watch it live in VR, but, you know, with the cast...
I think you can. If you can get into spectator view, I think you can watch it.
Well, you have to actually... like, commentators and observers, I think, fill the spectator slot. Because, like, Heroes of the Storm only has four spectator slots per game.
Yeah, TI6.
Yeah, so it's like...
Yeah, you can watch that live. Yeah, it doesn't...
Yeah. So, to be a spectator, you actually have to be in the game client and, like, actually be in the game.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that it's not like you're just watching it on
But you
TV.
Could watch your buddy's game and do it.
Yeah,
in VR,
exactly.
But you couldn't watch a TI6 game.
Yeah, we're getting there, though.
So, so maybe the next iteration of this, you'll be able to look over and see somebody else watching, maybe.
Maybe.
And that's what... Are we done with TI?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's exactly the thoughts I was at. Before I even knew that this was... Well, I knew it was going to be down the
there
road.
There is one last thing with TI6. Next week... is going to be the final. When's the finals?
The 12th and 13th.
Okay, so we're going to be trying to watch it through our Discord channel. So if you're interested in hearing us shoot the shit while we watch TI6, we'll try to be on our Discord when we can and watch the TI6.
Yeah, because I think last year a couple of us were all on one Skype call, and we were just kind of talking as the game were going on, was going on. But it'd be cool just to have everyone. You know, Discord is just like a chat room, basically.
So go to dlgaming.net, and hopefully soon we'll have our Discord link up there. As I'm watching the Rocket League World Championships, which were this last weekend, you know, they're way lower on the, there's like $27,000 was first place. That's amongst three people, not five people, so it makes it a little better. But
$20,000 was the grand prize?
$27,000, yeah. $27,500, I believe.
Not bad.
No, it's not bad. And, you know, Sam has heard all these other big numbers from these other things that I talk about that she doesn't care about. But she's like, why is it so small? And I was like, well, you know, they weren't a giant company when they hit mega, you know, they struck gold with this. Mm-hmm. So they had to go buy, hire like 100 new people, get a new building. Like they had a lot of work to do just to build the foundation where to get to this point. And on that, I thought the production value was fantastic. I thought the casters were really good. Everything was really professional. The stage looked great. You could tell it's a small venue, but who cares really? I was really, really impressed. Out of the gate, I think they've looked at what worked and what didn't work in the past. And their first time out of the gate, they did a great job. And the finals were actually really competitive. I won't say what happened, but what was really interesting is one team would score immediately every game of the finals. And it would be... The other team would tie it up within a couple of seconds for the first four games in a row. And that also is how the series went. One scored right off the bat and then the other one tied. And it just continued that way. It was really good.
So were there big names in esports?
Not really.
Some of the sponsors.
Yeah, iBuyPower. iBuyPower was in the finals.
What was the other one that was in the finals too? They're a pretty big name.
Flip Squad.
Yeah, Flipside Tactics.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that they were people.
Yeah. They sponsor a couple of teams.
Their jerseys suck though on both sides. They look like they're wearing t-shirts. I was like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. The production value was really good. I was very impressed by that. And it's so important for that to be good because esports is at a stage where it's getting so much coverage and people are becoming aware of it. CNN just had a huge expose on it, not expose, but they had a huge piece on it. And it's in that stage where people who have no idea what the fuck this is need to be able to see this and for it to look absolutely professional and golden. Otherwise it's just going to flounder. So I'm always glad when they, you know, the casters are articulate and able to, you know, really put on a good show. And then they have these little small vignettes of the players that look really professional and not cheesy. So I was happy about that. The actual gameplay, I could not believe how different those games looked than the games that I play in Rocket League.
Yeah.
I was just like,
nobody's on the floor in these games. They're all flying around.
They connect with the ball. I hardly saw people just whiff it going after a ball. Every time they would just connect. I was that never happens. You know, there's usually a fucking 5-car pile up.
And a lot of
bounces straight up.
Yeah. A lot of the skill too, Chad, isn't just shots on goal is not complex enough. You have to bounce it off the wall and it's called a double tap. You bounce it off the wall and you hit it again, way off the air. So you hit into the wall and then you angle yourself and then you hit it. So that makes the defender go the wrong direction. It's almost passing to yourself off the wall, like a little bit of handball with your soccer.
And it's 3v3, so and the arena is always just the same arena?
No, it changes. Yeah, it changes. Yeah. But it's not any of the funky ones.
Oh, it wasn't the one.
I didn't see any of the funky ones, no. No. But anyway, so as I'm watching this, I'm seeing all these fake people in the crowd. They're just dots. It's a fake crowd and they're all cheering, but it does make it feel like the other games that I watched doesn't really have a crowd.
Yeah, and there's in-game cheering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you feel like you're watching an actual sports event.
Exactly.
When the crowd cheers, you kind of feel that rush too.
Yeah.
It's like watching a movie theater. It's very conducive to that.
They should have had a new arena specifically for the World Championship.
I think next year they'll have a lot more.
Or something. Yeah. They could have made some money. There's your prize pool. But the great thing about this as an esport, I was a little wary about Rocket League as an esport. I'm just is it complicated enough of a game? Because basically anyone could cast it, you know? You don't need to memorize, talents and builds and items and, all this vast information.
Well, anybody could speak fast enough.
Yeah.
There's so much action.
There is a lot of action.
It's like a hockey announcement. Yeah. I have no idea how they know which which player just got the puck.
Yeah.
They're just bouncing pucks around. Yeah. And like,
well, I mean, the ball is pretty big in this. And the good thing about it is this is so like easy to interpret for someone who doesn't know gaming. It's like, oh, it's soccer. They're trying to get the ball in that hole. Like that's all it is. And they're knocking it around.
No penalties. There's like nothing. Like,
I mean, this is totally something that I could see people who are not into gaming watching.
The only thing you don't know is how complex, how hard it is to do what they're doing.
Exactly.
That's like, the only thing.
The moves that they're doing are so incredibly difficult, like mechanically, like that doesn't, like if you were just, if I were to show that to my mom, she wouldn't really get it, you know, or even some gamers, it's like, you know, we're so used to these games that you just push a button and it locks you into like an animation or something that you could assume that, but no, nah, everyone knows what Rocket League is.
Two of the most impressive things that I saw was one, there two guys are going to the net and there's two defenders. One guy passes it to the other guy by hook. He held the e-brake and hit it with the back of his car. Like, he shimmied his car over and just passed it over with just enough speed and precision to jump it over off his buddy's hood. It was crazy. And the other one was from the opposite top corner, he knocked it towards the enemy. It's got to go all the way across. His buddy jumps up and hits it with the tip of his car to keep it in the air. Then the third guy jumps up and hits it with the tip of his. So it never even came close to hitting the ground all the way from the opposite wall. It was fucking so impressive.
Do they have a highlight reel or something that we can see for the...
You can watch the finals in like, you know, they're only 5-minute games. So it's really fast.
I wonder what the comms are like for the teams, if there's a lot of communication required between them.
Probably.
I'd be curious as to that. But I don't know. I think this is like the perfect game for people to get into esports. It's like a gateway esport because
it's basically easy to understand. A sport also.
Too. Yeah, exactly.
And all the other ones are so complex. And if you don't play them, you're not going
to
know them.
And thanks to Jens for pointing that out. I know he messaged me on Steam letting me know about that with the link and everything.
I haven't seen any coverage. Jens is my coverage of this. Yeah. Like, I have nobody covering this.
Yeah, it was kind of strangely absent from like all sorts.
I wonder
of
if next year's is going to be bigger or smaller because, you know, it's not a game. Well, I don't know if it's getting bigger.
Does it have legs is the question.
Yeah. Anyway, they have some news. Next month they're coming out with Rumble Mode, which is going to be, it's going to have power-ups a la Mario Kart. And
cool.
Yeah, so you can pick things up. I read a list of maybe 12 to 15 different items. Like you could trade places with somebody else, grappling hooks, freeze rays, all that kind of stuff. So that may be a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yep. And in news, we only have one thing. There's a total conversion for a mod coming out for Skyrim. It's called Endreal. It's a German developer, but they're going to release a English version one. I guess it's coming out like this week or next week. If you own Skyrim, it's going to be completely free. Like new mechanics, new world, new everything. And you just get it for free. I guess the trailers are supposed to be pretty impressive. So free game. Free, like, you know, maybe AA game if you're interested.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you going to play it?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Okay.
But I might be too busy finding out purple dinosaurs on different planets on No Man's Sky.
Okay, yeah. So No Man's Sky is obviously coming out for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be neck deep in Karazhan. But I do want to play some WoW with you, Bobby, if you got...
Yeah, what server are you on?
I have probably 40 different characters on different servers.
Oh, wow.
Bobby, is it free to, like, did you get a scroll of revival or whatever that is?
No, I did not. I didn't even think of doing that. I wasn't even concerned about the price. It was just...
How much is it? Like, $13.99?
Captain Gummy,
$15 a month.
Yeah. I think you can get up to level 20 just...
That is what I did. I was like, do I really want to invest in this? Do I really want to get into it? So I started a new character, and you can level up your character to 20, which is hours. That's hours of gameplay right there.
Yeah.
I got to about 15. I was like, all right, yeah, I'm in. And then I activated that subscription.
Yeah.
Chad, so, you can use it. There used to be a thing called a Scroll of Resurrection.
Yeah, there is still.
Yeah, they still
have
that.
I think you get like a month free if you do that.
Yeah, I think you get some time free, and then whoever...
both of you guys, you and the person that referred you, get both of them. But I have a buddy that...
Yeah, probably don't want to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have a buddy.
Yeah.
I have no friends.
Okay. So, anybody got anything else?
Nope.
I'm feeling sober today, so let's get that fixed for next week.
Okay. Speaking for Bobby, Chad, and myself.
One last thing. We're pretty much done with listener spotlight.
Like, yeah. So if you want to be up, you'd be first in line.
Yeah. So we have opportunities. If you are interested in talking to one of us and then having it show up on the podcast, hit us up on our Steam group and we'll get you on.
Join our Steam group. Join our Discord. Join our Patreon. That would be the first one to do, actually. Yep. You can get to all of that stuff on dlgaming.net. And regrettably, sober titties, everyone. Sober titties.